Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From WNYC, New York Public Radio, this is Soundcheck On Demand. I'm John Schaefer. This on-demand service is made possible by WNYC and its listeners, so please help support this free service by becoming a member at WNYC.org.
WNYC On Demand is supported by DataPipe Managed IT Services, delivering a comprehensive suite of managed services, including implementing, securing, and scaling applications designed for mid-market and Fortune 1000 enterprises. DataPipe.com.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. Later on our show, we'll meet the dynamic young conductor of the Brooklyn Philharmonic. Their new season kicks off this weekend with contemporary dance, film, singer-songwriters like Suzanne Vega, and a smattering of classical music as well. Later, Blender Magazine's most demented music fans. All of that's to come, but we begin in Cuba, sort of. For the first time in 3 months, the 80-year-old Cuban leader Fidel Castro made a rare TV appearance yesterday, sipping orange juice with Venezuelan leader Hugo Chavez. But as he struggles to recover from a mysterious illness, other people are imagining what Cuba will look like after Castro. And for some, that may involve a whole lot more hip-hop. A new documentary takes a look at Cuba's growing rap scene. It's called East of Havana. And the film's creators, Aretzi Cesar Vitoria and Emilia Menocal, are with us in the studio today. Emilia, when we think of Cuban music, I think most people would say Buena Vista Social Club.
Yeah, and that's absolutely true.
How much hip hop is there in Cuba?
There's a growing amount. I mean, it's obviously not the American market, or even I think the second biggest market is probably the French market at this point. It's very much an underground movement, and it's growing, and it's a very much therapy for the youth over there, much more than we could say. You know, it's not about making money in Cuba, obviously. It's very much about getting a newsletter out there to the world and to the streets.
Aretzi, Emilia uses the word therapy to describe how these kids are using hip-hop. In the film, you make the point that this generation of young musicians actually grew up during what they sort of euphemistically call the special period in Cuba.
Yeah, the special period is something that's mentioned in the film. It's essentially when the wall fell in Berlin in 89, and mixed with the American embargo, it just, you know, it was the toughest time Cubans had. And for the first time, I think a lot of the teenagers were very ideologically confused. You know, what's going to happen to us? Is this going to work out over here? And they started making illegal antennas and putting them on the roofs of their houses. So the reason hip-hop even, the way it got into the country, is through radio signals from the United States. And then a mixtape market formed, and then it spread around the island like wildfire. But hip-hop ended up becoming this form of, you know, therapy, as Emilia says. And they're, you know, at the end of the day, they're really just working it out in their heads.
So the special period, basically, we're talking about some years when, you know, the Soviet Union basically fell and no longer had the money to support Castro and the government there in Cuba. And so you had rolling blackouts. You had all kinds of food and supplies in short supply. And these kids grew up basically during this period.
Absolutely. And also, I think something that people don't realize is that the most confusing thing is tourism started coming to Cuba. So all of a sudden you have people who are 15 years old, who are children of the revolution, know nothing but the Castro government. And next thing you know, they're invaded by tourism and cameras and iPods and all these things that they had never seen before, while the revolution is still preaching whatever they preach. So it's a very confusing time for the Cuban youth.
Right. Now, Emilia, you also used the word underground to describe this. Is it underground because it has to be? I mean, is the Castro government aware of this nascent movement? And if so, have they made any moves to stamp it out?
The Castro government is very much aware. Hip-hop, as Aretzi said, really was born in the early 90s. And it has gone through a wave of, being illegal and trying to be stamped out. But the youth movement was so strong and so adamant about this movement that they, you know, ended up in the late 90s sort of, you know, saying, hey, we're here, we exist, we have a right to exist. were also Cuban musicians. And let's talk. This is to the Castro government.
Yeah.
There was a classic day within the government where Abel Prieto, the minister of culture, actually stood in a podium and said that rap is now an authentic form of expression, was the quote used, which was sort of a day where everyone kind of high-fived and sort of came out of the closet.
All right. Well, in the film East of Havana, there is a scene where, you know, the DJ is basically introducing his show, which is a nighttime program of rap. And, you know, presumably that is state-run radio. So there's got to be some kind of accommodation that's been reached, you would think.
Yeah, the Cubans are brilliant. The young Cubans we've spoken to are really, you know, there's rules in Cuba. There's no independent journalism. The internet's regulated, and they're very eloquent in how they, you know, describe their cause. And some of them will tell you that, you know, it's not against the revolution, that it's an extension of the revolution because, you know, they were raised being taught through Che Guevara and whatnot, you know, to question injustice, to question things that are wrong, to criticize the system that you love and to make it better. And that's truly what a revolutionary is. And these guys are taking a page from that, and they're taking it a step further.
All right. We're speaking with the makers of the documentary film East of Havana, Jaretsi Cesar Pitoria and Emilia Menocal. Emilia, there are three young rappers that you guys followed while you were down there in Cuba. One of them is a guy named Soandri, who basically says in the film, hip-hop means rebellion, hip-hop means struggle. Funny thing is, you know, if you speak Spanish, and even if you don't, because it's all, you've got subtitles the whole way through, it's a very polite form of rebellion that he practices with his, you know, there's not a lot of the language, you don't have lots of, you know, bitches and hoes, you know, like you have it so much in American rap.
Yeah, well, that's not what they're about. I mean, they have, these are kids who are talking about injustice and racism and the future of a country. And, you know, it's not rapping for rapping's sake. It's really poetry set to beat.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and Soandri, even when he's not rapping, is a quite elegant, sophisticated, intelligent, you know, man. So
Who lives in the ghetto.
But, you know, if you look at early American hip hop, it wasn't about bitches and hoes either.
Yeah.
So I think we should stay away from trying to compare, you know, the modern American hip hop to what these kids are trying to do, because it's apples and oranges.
Well, let's hear a little bit from this artist Soandri and a song called Lágrimas Negras, Black Tears.
Frente, todo el tiempo realista. No digas que no es racismo donde hay un racista. Siempre y cuando, donde quiera que me encuentre, el prejuicio de una forma u otra está presente. Negro delincuente, concepto legendario, visto como el adversario en cualquier horario. Blancas con tiki tiki, ganando buen salario. Blanquitos Mickey Mickey, jugando Super Mario. Siento odio profundo por tu racismo. Ya no me confundo con tu ironía. Y lloro sin que sepas que el llanto mío tiene lágrimas negras como mi vida. Siento odio profundo por tu racismo. Ya no me confundo con tu ironía. Y lloro sin que sepas que el llanto mío tiene lágrimas negras como mi vida.
Lágrimas Negras. Soandri from the film East of Havana. Soandri is one of three young hip-hop artists that my guests followed in the making of the movie East of Havana. Jaretsi Cesar Pitoria and Emilia Menocal with us on Soundcheck today. And Jaretsi, Lágrimas Negras, this is, you can sort of look at this on a couple of levels, I guess.
Lágrimas Negras is a song about heartbreak. It's a love song. It's an old classic Cuban song. It's been covered a million times. And hip-hop kids kind of grabbed it and flipped it, and he's talking about racism in this song. He's really, you know, touching on this hot button. You know, as you know, in Cuba, the revolution is supposed to eradicate racism.
Right. Colorblind was literally the word that has
been
used. Exactly.
You know, you're not black, I'm not white, we're just all Cuban, which is a paradox, you know, with their day-to-day life, really, because the darker skin, you know, African-Americans just, you know, are locked out of jobs, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
It's the reality of life down there. So he really, you know, hammers out this issue in this song.
Now, he's also the one whose brother left during the 1994 flotilla and came to the United States.
Yes, absolutely.
Which is, you know, the occasion for a couple of very touching scenes in the film. I mean, his mother still very broken up by the fact that her son left. And Soandri seems to kind of be working through a lot of that kind of personal pain in his raps as well. What about you know, I guess that brings us back to the so-called special period. But, you know, how much of a sense of the what these kids have been through do you get from, in a literal sense, from the songs that they perform?
I always talk about these kids as being warriors of daily life. You really feel like when you're with them, especially when we were shooting them, you really woke up every day with them and you almost felt like you were going to war. You know, it was like, how are we going to win today the fight? And it was very much about, how are we going to eat today? How are we going to get water? How am I going to get my lyrics heard? How are we going to get this show going?
So the woman, the young woman, Majori is her name? I mean, basically, you follow her as she literally just tries to sell whatever
anything.
She, a spoon, a shirt, anything she can just to make the rent.
Yep.
So very different concerns from those that, you know, a lot of American rappers would have.
Yeah,
a lot of the female rappers, sorry to interrupt, tend to have a lot of the prostitution themes in their rap songs too. And a lot of the guys too. A lot of the guys will have a very sweet girlfriend who kind of does it on the side. Mayotte really prides herself and she owns herself and she has a huge sense of confidence and just really is a hustler on the street to really make her cash. But it is tends to be one of the, you know, it's a very big theme and a lot of the women are very much supporting their whole families with that.
Now, there a large portion of the film is leading up to this big international rap fest, which ends up not happening. I mean, the opening scene of the film sets up the fact that while this rap festival is coming, so is Hurricane Charlie. And the two sort of combine forces to give a, well, it's I'm sure, a very unsatisfying ending to anyone who was hoping that this whole thing would come off. But what is the importance of that festival and how international is it and how much of a connection do these kids get to the rest of the world through it?
I think Solandri says it in the film. He says, you know, the rap festival for us is so important because it's the one time of year where people from around the world hear us. They hear our lyrics and it's the international presses here. And it is international. I have to say I've met people from all over the world at the Havana Hip Hop Festival. And it's the one time of year where they can actually make and burn CDs and sell them to tourists. Mm. So it's also an economic thing for them. And the fact that the festival is canceled, very much, people always ask us, well, why did you guys, you know, decide to put that in the film and stuff? It's so disappointing. And that's what life in Cuba is like. You know, we shot a documentary. I didn't shoot Cinderella.
Yeah.
You know, this is the reality of and the deception that these kids lived at that moment. You know, it's very, the only thing they have in their minds is that festival every year.
Well, let's listen to a little bit of the footage from the film East of Havana by my guests, Haretsi Cesar Vitoria and Emilia Menocal. This is Soundcheck.
Contra lo que sea, así me pongo yo, porque yo no tengo pelos en la lengua, porque no le tengo miedo a lo que venga. Dedicado a la zona Habana del Este entera, calle Concha, la Machanga, micro 10 litera, 322 la calle ancha, la zona 11, la capital terra será por siempre y desde entonces ando como siempre, indisciplinado. El que no me conoce dice que soy un pesado, demasiado lo que tengo aquí formado, y eso no es de ahora. Yo tenía mi tumbao pegado.
Well, that gives you a little bit of the sense of the energy of some of the live music that's happening East of Havana. East of Havana is the name of the documentary about the emerging hip-hop movement in Cuba following the lives and the music of three young Cubans, and the film made by Haretsi Cesar Vitoria and Emilia Menocal, both of whom are with us on Soundcheck today. And Haretsi, what we were just hearing, you know, is a relatively rare example of a full-on concert performance. I guess you must have expected a lot more of that when you two went down to Cuba.
Yeah, there's a lot of little secret pockets. As we said earlier, this Havana Rap Festival, which is once a year, is, you know, there's an estimated 500 bands on the whole island, but everybody literally converges into Havana one time a year to, like, say these things. And, you know, one of the big sentiments we get a lot is they wish they heard more music in the movie, and we always just say, like, join the club. You know, we went down to Cuba to shoot a lot of live shows and to give that to you guys. And we were just as disappointed and surprised along with the entire hip-hop scene. And Solandri spent an entire year working on new lyrics. Mayotte spent an entire year working on new lyrics. And that this is it. This was the moment they were going to get on stage and give their new poetry, and everybody was going to bond over it. And everybody was robbed of it, just as the theater goer is robbed of all those shows.
All right. Now, you say they were robbed of it. Amelia, you used the word deception. Is there a suggestion here that somehow the government, after all, was behind pulling this festival?
No, I mean, listen, I'm not. I'm a hurricane came, and that is a reality, that a weather induced problem.
An act of God, so
an
to
act
speak.
Of God. You know, we're not going to insinuate that the government. You know, I'm not going to insinuate the Cuban government did anything, but we all know that the Cuban government controls everything. So, I mean, you know, people can make up their own.
Well, now how dangerous was it for these three kids to be, you know, so frank and open with the two of you in the making?
You know, it's dangerous. You know, it's not, you know, these kids say stuff in this film that they consider to be the truth. And the truth is something that, as Suandri says in the film, sometimes really bothers people. You know, we had very long conversations with them about the reality of the film and where it was going to show and what we wanted to do and how comfortable do you feel, how comfortable do you not feel. But they felt a sense of responsibility at all times to step on that platform that we were giving them and speak.
Mm-hmm.
And I would like to say about the rap concert, though, we don't actually give any opinions in the movie. We let the audience decide for themselves, really. We do just show the facts on that. But FYI, the rap festival was canceled this year again. And there was no hurricane.
Hmm.
So, you know, is there a conspiracy theory and stuff? No. Are they very supportive of the rap scene? It's, you know, there's not many things right now that they're doing to support the movement.
Although there is apparently, I mean, you know, there's this organization created by the Castro government to support...
The rap agency.
The rap agency, whatever it is. Harry Belafonte has sort of been a big advocate of it. You know, we have an email from a listener wondering what you guys think of the support that Cuban hip-hop has gotten, you know, with Castro rapping... You know, before a baseball game there in, mm-hmm. in Cuba.
Why, you did your
and
homework,
stuff.
Huh?
No, I'm literally reading this from an email that came in a moment
what
ago.
Yeah, happened? Harry Belafonte gets a lot of credit for helping to open the doors. He went down to Cuba, and the first thing he said when he came off the airplane was, "I want to meet the Cuban rappers. I hear there's a rap scene here." And I have friends that were in the room that day, and he gave them all a really big pep talk. And he said, "What you guys are doing is important. Keep on doing it." He proceeded to have a dinner with Fidel Castro that lasted for hours that same week, and... No one knows what really would happen or what's said, but within the month, you know, there were some rap acts opening on some salsa bands around the island. And, you know, I mean, it's so debatable. It goes back and forth on really, like, are they helping in the movement? Are they stifling the movement? That's very debatable.
All right. Now, let me ask the two of you, just kind of point blank. You're both Cuban Americans
mm-hmm.
From Miami, which...
No, not from Miami.
Not from Miami?
No.
Where are you from originally?
I was born in New York. I was raised in France.
Oh, okay.
I have the Miami exile
thing. You have the Miami exile thing going. One of the things that's striking is that while neither of you is on camera, these people are talking to you. I mean, we hear the exchanges and stuff. If there's a kind of journalistic objectivity and distance, it's not evident in the way the film is cut, you know, the way the editing is done, because it's very clear that you guys are involved in this conversation. So, you know, I guess the question is then, how much of your own views of the Castro government are reflected in the way this film is ultimately put together?
Well, one of the reasons that we wanted to make this film was not only to give a new face to the youth in Cuba, but also to give a new face to the Cuban Americans in this country. Haretzi and I both think that it is time for the image of the Cuban American to change. We don't want to participate in the... you know, in some of the frenzies that you see down in Miami. We believe that a dialogue needs to happen with Cuba, and we believe that as young people, we are the future of that island eventually, and we want to help it. That's why we need to start speaking to them.
Was it dangerous for the two of you to be there?
Again, you know, maybe we were naive. but you could claim that it was even dangerous for us to be there and to go back to Miami.
Hmm.
If you know what I mean.
Well, but you did it, and the film is done, and it opens on Friday at the IFC Theater here in New York. The movie is called East of Havana, and it documents the emerging hip-hop movement in Cuba And we've been talking with the filmmakers Horetzi Sizobretoria and Emilia Menocal. Horetzi, I think I've pronounced your name differently every time I've said it. I hope I got it right once there.
Somewhere.
To both of you, thank you very much.
Thank you
very much. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Still to come on Soundcheck today, Earth Awakened. No, that's not the latest Discovery Channel documentary. It's the name of the season-opening concert by the Brooklyn Philharmonic. Music director Michael Christie joins us next. And then later, from fishheads to wacko jackos, music's most demented fans. This is Soundcheck. Soy taco bueno que te enreda la cabeza, así que baila, vive y fuma. Mi letra madura, yo empleo bien la pluma, pa' que crean en mí dentro y fuera de Cuba. En esta mecánica yo estoy pasado, total. Thanks for listening to Soundcheck from WNYC, New York Public Radio. Each day we dig into what's happening in music, and you can hear everything we do and check out our other programs on demand at WNYC.org or on iTunes. All of this is made possible by WNYC and its listeners, so please help support this free service by becoming a member at WNYC.org. Thanks.